Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more, on the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Welcome to Simply Scottish, 30 minutes of Scottish culture, history and music. I'm Andrew McDermott, your host. Thanks for tuning in today. Our opening music comes from Rant, four of Scotland's finest fiddle players hailing from the Highlands and Islands. Rant is a Scots word meaning an energetic tune or its dance. As a verb, it means to make merry, to frolic. You'll hear more from them shortly. On this episode, our response to Scotland's historic independence referendum on September 18th, 2014, and a look at Scotland's future. What does the result mean for Scotland? Will the dream of independence live on? In what ways will Scotland be different? Find other episodes as well as music playlists on our website, simplyscottish.com. You can also listen via iTunes and the Celtic Radio Network at celticradio.net. And for updates about new episodes, details of our monthly music giveaway, Scottish news and more, follow the show on Facebook or Twitter. Back to music with more from Rant. This is One For Us.
Thank you.
On September 18th, 2014, the people of Scotland made history when they went to the polls to decide whether Scotland should be an independent country. The referendum was a fulfilled promise from the Scottish National Party, a political party that was founded on the goal of independence in the early 20th century, and in 2011 emerged with a majority of seats in a landslide victory at the Scottish Parliament elections. The campaign for Home Rule, the return of a Scottish Assembly to Edinburgh with devolved powers, has been building for over a century. But the 2014 vote was the first time Scotland's people had ever had the democratic power to decide whether Scotland should be independent or remain in the United Kingdom. Not even in 1707 did the people have this choice. Back then, it was a matter decided by parliaments of elites and royal courts. Public opinion counted little. 84.5% of Scotland's registered voters, over 3.6 million, turned out to cast their vote, a new record for any election held in the UK since universal suffrage was introduced in 1918. It's also one of the highest turnouts of any election or referendum in the democratic world. The turnout surpassed 90% in some areas, and in Glasgow, Scotland's biggest city, 75% turned out, almost double the typical figures. And for the first time in Scottish and British history, the legal voting age was lowered to 16, allowing about 100,000 under-18s to make their voice heard. And the result? 1.6 million voters, 45%, chose independence, while 2 million voters, 55%, preferred Scotland to remain in the United Kingdom. A few districts, Dundee and Glasgow included, returned a majority in favour of independence. The numbers were as close as the national count in many districts, with one, Inverclyde, reporting a difference of just 86 votes. This was no landslide, but the no vote emerged as the winner in the referendum. Scotland will remain in the United Kingdom. For now. Shortly after the result, Scotland's First Minister, Alex Salmond, announced that he would be stepping down from his position as First Minister and leader of the Scottish National Party to allow a new chapter in Scottish politics to begin. Speaking from his official residence at Bute House in Edinburgh, the First Minister told journalists, "For me as leader, my time is nearly over, but for Scotland the campaign continues and the dream shall never die. I am immensely proud of the campaign that Yes Scotland fought, and particularly of the 1.6 million voters who rallied to that cause. The position is this: we lost the referendum vote, but can still carry the political initiative. More importantly, Scotland can still emerge as the real winner. We now have the opportunity to hold Westminster's feet to the fire on the vow that they have made to devolve further meaningful power to Scotland. This places Scotland in a very strong position." Deputy First Minister Nicola Sturgeon is set to take over Salmond's role at the SNP's annual conference this year. Sturgeon's recent comments after the referendum show that, no matter the result, the status quo is no longer an option in Scottish politics. "The word devolution is no longer adequate," says Sturgeon, "for that describes a process of handing down carefully circumscribed powers from on high to a relatively passive people. Scotland is now more politically engaged and assertive than at any stage of the democratic era. In the circumstances, achieving 45% and 1.6 million votes for an independent Scotland was remarkable, and in my opinion, will be judged in days to come as the moment which determined that independence was a question of when, not if. Put simply, the more responsibilities we can demonstrate Scotland is capable of successfully discharging, and the more these are used to build a fairer country and more economic opportunity for all, the less people will hear the siren voices claiming that to go further would cause the sky to fall in." In a few minutes, I'll share my own response to the independence vote, and we'll take a closer look at Scotland's future post-referendum. Here's music now from newcomer Jane Jackson. From an album called Songs Fae Home, this is Wild Mountain Time. You're listening to Simply Scottish. In October 2012, the Edinburgh Agreement was signed by First Minister Alex Salmond and Prime Minister David Cameron, agreeing the terms of an independence referendum. Around the same time, the two campaigns, Yes Scotland and Better Together, officially kicked off. For 2 years, the people of Scotland have peaceably debated the issues in their homes, as well as in coffee shops, bars, schools, churches, community centres, stadiums and workplaces. And the eyes of the world have been on Scotland during the process. Britain's allies have watched the situation with interest and concern. Others around the world who desire greater autonomy have looked to Scotland as an example, including groups in Quebec, Flanders, the Spanish region of Catalonia, and Kashmir. Scotland has given the world a great example of peaceful, passionate, and effective political engagement. As Alex Salmond has said, "This has been the greatest democratic experience in Scotland's history, and it has brought us great credit, both nationally and internationally. The true story to emerge from the referendum is that Scotland now has the most politically engaged population in Western Europe." So no matter what our opinion of Scottish independence, we can all be encouraged by what the referendum has done in Scotland. It has generated an unprecedented level of public engagement from young and old, rich and poor, urban and rural alike. It has guaranteed greater autonomy for Scotland, even with a no vote. It has brought out into the open a number of important issues that will continue to be debated in the months to come. It has presented the idea of independence as a valid and attainable alternative. It's driven calls for constitutional change at the UK level. And it's consigned the status quo to history. I myself have been a supporter of Scottish independence for a number of years. As I've grown into adulthood, my nationalism has matured. These last 2 years have been very fruitful for me as I've considered the complex issues of independence. The last months leading up to the referendum were a period of turmoil for me as I wrestled with the pros and cons. I was definitely in the yes camp, but it was a sober, cautious yes, different than it may have been in the past. Indeed, after I heard the result, I was disappointed, but also a bit relieved. I was excited at the prospect of the Scottish Parliament receiving even more powers, and intrigued by the notion of a United Kingdom that was, for all its ills and frailties, going to stay united for the present. I found a few things interesting in the aftermath of the vote. First, there was the issue of Glasgow, Scotland's largest city. The people of Glasgow voted in favour of independence by a 54-46% margin. 75% turned out to vote there, a major increase from the 1997 referendum on devolution, where a national low of just 51% turned out. In the past, Glasgow voters have largely sided with the pro-union Labour Party, but that changed with this referendum. In the days after the vote, the Scottish National Party, the party in government in Scotland who brought about the referendum, experienced a surge in membership, making it the third largest party in the entire UK. Polls suggest that the SNP would gain a majority of seats in the next Scottish Parliament elections in May 2015. And then there's the grassroots and social media response to the referendum. Supporters of independence are rallying behind the cause with a new name, the 45%, hoping to continue the momentum generated by the vote. Although some have called this divisive, a movement built on the 45% of the electorate who voted for independence will remind politicians to take their choice seriously. It will also mute any claims that this was a landslide victory for the No campaign. In the event of a no vote, the people of Scotland were promised even more powers for the Scottish Parliament. There have also been calls for other types of constitutional reform, including the prospect of an English Parliament. In a few minutes, we'll conclude by looking ahead at how things may pan out in the months and years to come. We'll also highlight content from a recent issue of Scottish Memories magazine, so stay tuned. In the meantime, here's young all-girl Gaelic group Na Seachtain Uair, hailing from Argyll. From their debut album Seachtain, or Enchanted, here's My Heart's in the Highlands.
Bye.
If you find yourself wanting more of the music you're hearing on Simply Scottish, enter our monthly music giveaway for your chance to win your choice of a Scottish album from a catalogue of over 4,000. Our giveaway sponsor, MusicScotland.com, is an excellent source of Scottish music in a variety of styles. You can bet on fast dispatch, friendly service, and competitive prices as well. Enter our monthly music giveaway at our website, SimplyScottish.com. In the weeks leading up to the vote, leaders representing the No camp devised a strategy that most likely was the difference between them losing and winning. British Finance Minister George Osborne said Scots would be given more powers on tax, spending, and welfare if they returned a no vote. More tax-raising powers, much greater fiscal autonomy, more control over public expenditure, more control over welfare rates, and a host of other changes, said Osborne. Then Scotland will have the best of both worlds. They will both avoid the risks of separation, but have more control over their destiny, which is where I think many Scots want to be. Prime Minister David Cameron echoed the call for more autonomy, as did Labour Party lawmaker Gordon Brown. This solution, known as Devo Max, would see virtually all powers transferred to the Scottish Parliament except those absolutely necessary to the running of a unified state, defence and foreign affairs. Cameron is taking things further as well, promising more autonomy for all parts of the UK, not just Scotland, which is a step closer to a truly federal system such as the United States enjoys today. Of course, promises are just promises until they're delivered on, which will be no easy task given the differences of all the political parties involved. It could take months and even years for these changes to become reality. And if promises are not kept, it will only speed up the likelihood that there will be another independence referendum in Scotland in the years to come. One thing is certain, change has come to the United Kingdom, and I think in the end, citizens of all four nations will benefit. Thanks to the referendum, Scotland is now more democratically and politically engaged than at any other time in its history. These truly are historic and exciting times, and I join the great majority of Scots who are looking forward to the future with hope and confidence. Well, all this talk of the future is exhilarating, but it's also fun to look back at where we've come. Simply Scottish is sponsored in part by Scottish Memories magazine. The monthly publication is chock full of nostalgia and modern personal history. In a recent issue, Scottish Memories recounted 50 things that were better in the good old days, as told by its readers and contributors. Here are a few highlights. See which ones you can relate to. George Forbes looks back at movie going. Remember when a visit to the cinema included queuing up outside, being shown to your seat by an usher, and enjoying the Art Deco designs and plush interiors? Today, cinemas seem to lack this character, and many films these days often exchange drama and emotion for explosions. Bob Howie reflects on changes in learning. I think it was far nicer learning in the old days, because it was harder. Not like now where you click a button and all information is at your fingertips. When I wanted to find things out, I had to research them by walking to the library and searching through books. Leslie Proctor talks technology. I have a terrible time with my MP3 music player. I spend more time fumbling with the controls or trying to decipher the related computer software than I do listening to the music. With my old tape deck, I would just pick up a cassette, slot it in the machine, press play, and the music I wanted to hear poured out. She goes on to talk about GPS navigation, social media, where's the don't like button, telephones, and online passwords. Kate Graham talks about changes in shopping. Having to visit a different shop for each item on your shopping list might sound like a lot of hassle, but it definitely made life more interesting. There was a sense of community when a weekly shop involved the butcher, baker, and sweetie shop. I think people were less demanding, so enjoyed and appreciated what we had. Saving hard to buy something we wanted or needed brought so much joy. It was worth the wait and not instantly attained. Others chime in on food and drink, sport, home life, child's play, style, and more. To read this and other great features, subscribe to Scottish Memories magazine, in digital or physical format. For details, visit www.celebrate-scotland.co.uk. That's www.celebrate-scotland.co.uk. And that's all we've got time for on this episode. Get in touch with your comments and questions. I always appreciate hearing from listeners, and especially knowing where in the world you're listening to the show from. Reach me by email via the website, simplyscottish.com, or connect on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Kilter. We'll close with a brand new song from up-and-coming Scottish band Vigo Thieves. This song is destined to become the official anthem of the Scottish football team's upcoming campaigns. It's called Believe, and you heard it first on Simply Scottish. I'm Andrew McDermott. Join me again next time for more of All Things Scottish.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content, copyright, Simply Scottish Media. All music is used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience at simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening. In the fire.